You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. One of the great privileges of my life to have known Ron Wyatt, not just to know him, but to know him as a friend, even a very close friend, that he was a guest in our home on several occasions, had the privilege of traveling with Ron, and even the great privilege of sharing a speaking platform with Ron Wyatt on several occasions. Ron died in August of 1999. I miss him. His memory is blessed to me. What you're about to hear is one of the last presentations that Ron made regarding his discovery of the Ark of the Covenant, which Jeremiah had placed directly beneath the place where on Nisan 14 in 30 AD on that Wednesday, the day of preparation of Passover in 30 AD, the Lamb of God, which Abraham prophesied that God would provide himself a lamb, the propitiation of the blood of God was poured out. I want you to listen to what Ron Wyatt has to say. Ron Wyatt was genuine. Listen to what he discovered, and then let's look at one of the most important central chapters in the scripture, Hebrews chapter 10.
The blood of Christ is only dried out, folks. It's not dead. When we rehydrated it with normal saline, 72 hours of body temperature with slight, very gentle swirling, and put the white blood cells in a growth medium, 48 hours later, we did a chromosome count. I didn't. This was in Israel. It has 24 chromosomes only. All of us here have 46. Unless, you know, there's a couple of genetic anomalies that make that different. But Christ received 23 from his mother and one Y, sex determining factor from his father, who was not the human father. Because had he received that from a human father, it would have been accompanied by 22 autosomes. Now what this basically means is that his height, his eye color, his hair color, and all of this was supplied from the genes of his mother's gene pool. However, Mary and Joseph both descended from David, but none of us have 24 chromosomes. Well, they knew. They told me before I asked them to, when I asked them to perform this investigation, that dried blood, you can't get a chromosome count on it, because the white blood cells have to be alive. What in order to do that? You can get DNA, you can get some other things, but you can't have a chromosome count. So this blood is unique. and it is Christ's blood.
The chamber where I found the Ark of the Covenant has since been perfectly cleaned out, and the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread, the candlestick, the golden altar of incense, they're all set out as they were in the earthly temple, except that the Ark of the Covenant is sitting against the 12-foot long and 18-foot wide or high wall.
Yes, the tables of stone were found in the Ark of the Covenant and removed them with the assistance of four angels who lifted the mercy seat, which I would estimate weighs about 900 pounds of solid gold. And one of these angels told me to take the tables of stone out of there. He said God wants everyone to see those. And so I took them out, backed up, stood there, frozen in place. If, you know, I didn't have some physical evidence to prove it happened, I think I had a dream or something. They're on a stone ledge right in the same chamber. That's where the angel put them after I handed them to him. I didn't know what to do with them. And I was told that these are to be presented with the blood evidence when the mark of the beast law is passed or enforced. If you keep the Ten Commandments that God wrote upon those tables of stone, and about which he says in Psalms 89:34, those of you that are writing down text, you'll want this one. He says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. He spoke the Ten Commandments from the mountaintop. He wrote them in stone, and he says, nothing will change. Right? If you keep that law, you will receive the seal of God. Christ said of the Pharisees, for it is in vain that they worship me, teaching the doctrines and the commandments of men. If you keep those man-made laws and break God's Ten Commandments, you will receive the mark of the beast.
The blood of his son on the mercy seat at the Ark of the Covenant. Now the mechanics of that, how it happened, is in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 53. It says, when he had cried again, he died. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Then the earth shook and the rocks were rent and the graves were opened. When the rocks rent, the cliff behind where Christ was being crucified split all the way down, right past the left side of the cross hole and down into the chamber where God had hidden the Ark of the Covenant some 600 years before. And when the centurion's spear pierced Christ's spleen and probably the left ventricle of the heart, depending on how deep the thrust went, the blood and the platelets and serum gushed out and went down through that crack onto the Ark of the Covenant 20 feet below and fulfilled, ratified, if you please, the old hands of the covenant. And at that moment, you and I were bought with the price, as was everyone else on this planet, if they will only take advantage of what was done for them. What Christ did was enough to redeem every man, woman, and child that has ever been born on planet Earth. The tragedy is that so few avail themselves of that wonderful gift. Now, the next morning, and this is in Matthew chapter 28, it says, the angel descended to roll back the stone, and there was a great earthquake. I believe that God closed the crack at that point in time because there's no evidence of any surface water, rain, or dirt, dust, anything else having fallen through that crack other than just the blood of Jesus. And there it remained for almost 2,000 years. But the Ark was sitting there 600 years before the blood actually went on.
When I get to heaven, I'm going to look around But no one's here wanting you there. You can make it with God's help. Please. Don't let all of that go to waste. Please. Take advantage of the wonderful opportunity.
Hebrews chapter 10. A very difficult chapter. Profoundly important one. We went through and saw the new covenant with the new priesthood, the Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness priesthood. Take a look at Hebrews 9 before we go into Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 is vitally important in this time. It's not easy to understand. It's some of the deeper things of God, but it is profoundly important in this time. We have a better covenant with a better priesthood and better way of cleansing. I'm going to start with Hebrews chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer. Okay, the golden censer was only used on Yom Kippur. It was many times the size of the silver censer, which was used on a daily basis, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubim of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Paul wrote this in about 60 AD. He wrote it in that period before the destruction of the second temple, but after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And if you recall the crucifixion, the centurion pierced his side. John was standing right there. He said blood and water came out instantly. At that instant when the centurion pierced his side and the blood and water came out, proving that his heart was pierced with that spear, proving that he was dead. No more certain proof of death possible than went the blood serum in the pericardium, because the heart is ruptured. When that blood serum in that pericardium, the sac that your heart sits in, when the heart is pierced, that blood serum in the pericardium immediately separates the blood and water, separates two red and white cells. In a fraction of a second, it happens. And when that 3.5 pints of blood and water came out, at that same instant, was an earthquake, which split the ground 6 inches to the left of the cross. And the blood of the Lamb of God went down that crack in the earth where down beneath it sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant, which Jeremiah and the faithful priest had placed there 600 years earlier so that Nebuchadnezzar could not take the Ark of the Covenant and the other things which were not in the various inventories taken into Babylonian captivity could not be captured by Nebuchadnezzar. But God knew this 600 years before, and that ark and those temple vessels were placed directly under the cross of Yeshua HaMashiach. And that blood of the Lamb of God that Abraham prophesied sprinkled upon the mercy seat. And when that happened, we were all bought and paid for. That's the gospel. Now what will we do about it? But also at that same instant, there was an earthquake. The same earthquake, I guess, that split the ground there, also caused the veil that was in the temple. And if you study how heavy that veil was, only God could rip it, and he did. He ripped it from top to bottom. And everybody could look right into the Holy of Holies. and see that there never was an Ark of the Covenant in the Second Temple. No. And that Zerubbabel's temple that Herod did such a good job of remodeling, when that earthquake occurred on that Nisan 14 and 30 AD, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, everybody could look in there and they were shocked, because everybody knew what only the high priest knew before that day, that there never was an Ark of the Covenant in the Second Temple. And that's why you see Paul saying here, as he speaks of the mercy seat, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Nobody knew what it looked like. Isn't that something? Because of the discoveries that Ron Wyatt has made, we can know something that even Paul and the apostles didn't know. Nobody knew. Not even the high priest knew what the Ark of the Covenant looked like, what the mercy seat looked like. Now we know, don't we? Now, this is very important. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went in always to the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second. See, the altar of God was outside of the Holy of Holies, and that's where business was done with God. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way, see, this was only a shadow. This only pointed to the way. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. It only pointed to the way which could cleanse to the purifying of the conscience and make the comer thereunto perfect. It only pointed to that, okay? Which was a figure for the time then present before Nisan 14 and 30 AD, before the propitiation was made, before the blood of the Lamb of God was poured out and sprinkled upon the mercy seat once for all. It's important to understand this. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the sacrifice perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation, until Nisan 14 in 30 AD, when the Lamb of God, prophesied by Abraham and Moses and all the prophets, made the propitiation, where God provided himself as the Lamb of God to sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat. But Christ, but Messiah, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Now this refers, I think, to both his physical body and the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, that was put in the earth where Jeremiah and the faithful priest put the Ark of the Covenant and temple furnishings in that cave that God had made right directly below the cross where Messiah was sacrificed, where the Lamb of God poured out the propitiation of the blood of God upon the mercy seat on that Nisan 14 and 30 AD. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. You can change your will before you die. But once you die, your will is cast in concrete. It can't be changed then. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and of water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And this is the witness to the Jew, that Yeshua HaMashiach is the Lamb of God prophesied by Abraham, and that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That Yeshua HaMashiach is the capital P prophet of Deuteronomy 18, and he is the Lamb of God. God would provide himself a lamb, just as Abraham prophesied. This is the witness to the Jew. Nothing is more central in Torah than without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. You see, what Moses built was just a pattern, a model of what was in God's third heaven, you see. For Christ is not entered in the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once, at the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, just as Abraham prophesied. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hallelujah. We love his appearing. We love the idea of his appearing. All right. Now we get to that difficult chapter, which is so profound and so vitally important in these days of such strong delusion at every turn. Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Those things in the Levitical priesthood only pointed to how God would make and satisfy the offense to his holiness by the willful sin, by making the propitiation of his own blood. The blood of God was poured out and sprinkled on the mercy seat on Nisan 14 in 30 A.D. And all that was done in the Levitical priesthood on Yom Kippur only pointed to what Messiah Yeshua would do. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, the shadow is perfect, but the shadows emanate and lead to the substance, which is Yeshua. And it was Yeshua who gave the law to Moses. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year on Yom Kippur, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Surely they would. Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there was a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. No, it just don't do it. Not the willful sin. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. There is no provision in the law of Moses for the willful sin, and everyone has committed a willful sin. It's one thing when sin overtakes you, when you find yourself, because of thoughtlessness, because not paying attention, you find yourself in sin. And it's something else to know that it's sin, and know that God hates it, and go ahead and decide to just go ahead and do it anyhow. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. It was the will of the Father to send his perfect Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, God the Son, the Creator. It was the will of the Father to send him to be the propitiation, to be the payment for the sin of sinners, to pour out his blood, to take the curse of the law of sin and death upon himself, that we might be set free. And God could still be perfect in his justice and righteousness in consigning Satan and all his followers to an eternal lake of fire and granting mercy to those who come by this one provision God makes for sinners to be made perfect. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offering, and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. And this new covenant is better. We have a better priesthood, with better cleansing. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. And if you're going to come to God, you will come through Yeshua HaMashiach, or you will not approach God. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And we have a part in that. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hallelujah. And wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their heart, and into their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hallelujah. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yeshua, by the blood of Jesus. Because the propitiation of the blood of God, because the blood of the Lamb of God was sprinkled on the mercy seat on that Nisan 14 and 30 AD, we now can enter even with boldness through the veil that only the high priest could go through once a year. We can go through it 24/7 every day of the year. Glory to God. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, the king of the Jews, he was crucified. That was his official cry. But he is the king of righteousness. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Can you trust God? Can you depend on God to keep his word? Can you depend upon God to keep his covenant? Let us hold fast our profession. We have a new and much better way. We have direct access. We don't need to go through the Levitical priesthood anymore. We are now priests. And we have direct 24/7 access to the throne of grace. 24/7 access to the mercy seat. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, the blood of God, who hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. It's hard to believe, but there are people who are wanting to go back into these old ceremonial ritual cleansing ways instead of the only way. The only way on this side of the cross. After Nisan 14 and 30 AD, there is no other way. God has made a way, and you come God's way on God's term, or you don't make it to God. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. The day you truly get born again, it's the worst day of your life. You just don't fit anywhere anymore, do you? It's then that you begin this great fight of afflictions, isn't it? Isn't that the truth? But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. And partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. That's Paul. How could anybody read this and not see Paul being the penman of the Holy Ghost to give us this? For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and eternal and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You see, there is eternal security. And the number one doctrine of devils is once saved, always saved. You can look at the list of things which cannot separate us from the love of God, those last verses, Romans chapter 8. You can look at those last verses in Romans chapter 8. And you can see the most comprehensive list of things that cannot separate us from the love of God. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor famine, nor peril, or sword, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And yet, one thing is not covered in that most comprehensive list. Self-will. If you want to turn, if you want to walk away from God, He'll let you go. And that's why it's such a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now the just shall live by his faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And those who would seek to go back to the ways of the old Levitical priesthood system of cleansing, they're going to wind up in hell, having done despite to the blood of God. We have a new covenant, and it is the only way to God provided. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way. Very definite article. There is no other way. But now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. Wonderful stuff. It's simple, really. Especially when you know about the discovery that Ron Wyatt had made. It's amazing. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy and Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.